The weekend is near and the next round of footy is finally upon us. And your ultimate guide to all the upcoming action lies within the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. Welcome to Match Committee.
Well, it's round 10 and it's also the Indigenous round for 2017. Hello, everyone. My name is Tom Morris, filling in for Ben Waterworth, who is swanning around Europe with his wife, Annie, and having a very good time doing so. But in the podcast bunker today, filling in is myself, of course, but also AFL 360's much acclaimed, much celebrated producer, Tim Hodges. Tim, welcome to the podcast bunker.
Turn it up, Tom. Hello. Thank you for having me. It's always good when someone's away. I get the call up, but love being here and all the best to Benny Waterworth. He'll probably be listening, won't he?
I'd imagine him and his wife will be listening on the train somewhere in Venice. Riley Beveridge, of course, from foxfooty.com.au joined us as well in the podcast bunker today as we look ahead to round 10. Does Tim remind you a little bit of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer just coming off the bench at the very last moment just to fill in and help out?
Of course, Manchester United won the Europa League this morning and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer are very influential in their 99 Champions League win, so hopefully Tim can be just as successful today.
You don't agree? Tim, you've got a puzzled look on your face.
Never heard of the bloke.
No culture whatsoever.
Take one was Andy Bickle. So
you could be Andy Bickle if you wanted to as well.
Happy with any of them.
Marginally missed out in his only Test 50.
Just trying to play line and length, do my job, and get an invite back. Which, you know, if somebody's sick next week, I might get the call up.
No worries. Well, let's move along to the big topics. Actually, no. Before we do that, Tim, we need to speak about
Here
you
because
you've been on the front page of newspapers, television programs, internet websites, Twitter.
Massive weekend. Let's look forward
all week. You and Brian Taylor had a run-in last Friday night. Can you talk to us about what happened at Simmons Stadium after
good
the game?
You know when you're standing there and your phone's going off in your pocket and you're thinking, oh, this is not a good thing. Brian Taylor goes on his little wanders through the rooms afterwards. I was doing some boundary for ABC and I was collateral damage, really. Just caught in the middle of him trying to gate crash a radio interview with Harry Taylor. I'm not sure. Do you think that segment works with BT on Channel 7?
I think it has its place. I don't mind it.
Okay.
Very sounding board-like conversation far, talking about each other.
Yes.
Quite incestual, really.
Well, anyway, he tried to gate crash a radio interview without actually gate crashing it properly, but just held his mic in there long enough to make us all look a bit foolish. But I'm glad that Harry Taylor stuck with ABC and didn't engage with the Channel 7 host. And, anyway.
Was there any consideration in giving the old Dustin Martin fend off?
No, everyone afterwards said, why didn't you punch him? As I imagine. Would have liked to.
Well, Hodgie, under last week's rules, you could have jumper punched him, but this week I wouldn't lay a hand on him.
Yeah. No, I used to, the funny thing, I'm a Magpie man, I used to love BT as a kid, so now I can't really stand him, but especially after Friday. But anyway.
You are on the record.
It is what it is. And,
well, the question is tonight, Hodgie, the same thing might happen.
No, Friday night.
So tomorrow night. Oh, in Sydney. You're not travelling to Sydney.
I think only BT rolls around on Friday nights.
Anyway, enough self-indulgence from you, Hodgie. Let's get into the agenda ahead of round 10.
And I put on the record three times I didn't want it mentioned, but anyway.
It is Indigenous round. But first of all, Hodgie, I'd like your selection dissection. What is the change you would make this week if you're an AFL coach?
If I'm Luke Beveridge, I'm just bringing Jordan Roughhead, his magnet, back on the whiteboard. I think the Bulldogs desperately need their big man back. He's been such a loss the first few months of the season. I understand he's ready to go. He was an emergency last week, which was an odd choice. We've seen so many times this year that they've elected to go with someone like a Lin Jong in the ruck, almost conceding the ruck tap out. I think that needs to change, and it needs to change as soon as Saturday because the stakes are starting to get really big for the Bulldogs. They need to start winning games and they need to stop dropping games, which they've done the last few weeks. So I would expect Roughhead's name to be in the ins when the selections come through this evening.
For Trav?
Probably, yeah. I don't think Travis is,
he didn't cover himself in glory last week.
It wasn't a good week for him last week. It wasn't a good last quarter. I mean, it couldn't have started worse for Cloak or for the Bulldogs early in the final term, giving away that 50-metre penalty. So, yeah, I would expect Travis to probably be on the outs and Roughhead one of the inclusions for the Bulldogs.
What about your selection choice for this week, Riley?
Mine's a bit of a controversial one, but I think Carlton needs to play Liam Jones on Sunday. He's a much maligned figure, but with Sam Rowe going out of the side, he's moved back into the defence this year in the VFL, and he's actually playing quite well. So last week he played on Josh Bruce when the Northern Blues played it against Sandringham. Had 30 touches, took 15 marks, and kept Josh Bruce, who's pretty good key forward playing for in the VFL, to one goal. So I think he'll come in this week, and I think he'll have the job on Ben Brown.
Tom, did you ever think you'd hear Riley Beveridge say, Carlton needs Liam Jones in their team?
I didn't think you'd say Liam Jones, but I knew that whatever you do with Riley, it's always going to be blue-centric, and that's no surprise there. What about your headline this week, Hodgie? What do you think is going to be?
What's your selection?
No, I'm just the host here. I'm just harnessing my inner Ben Waterworth. I don't have an opinion. I'm here to facilitate yours. Headline this week, Hodgie?
I think the headline will come from South Australia, from the Adelaide Advertiser, and I think back in town, the Crows as the flag favourites after this weekend.
Characters there, Riley.
Well, you guys are the sub-editors. You can work it out. I think the Crows will do a real number on the Dockers Saturday night, and I can't see the Giants going over to Perth and beating the Eagles with the injury list. We put it up on 360 last night. That injury list almost took up the entire screen. I just can't see the Giants winning, and I think that means the Crows will leapfrog them in premiership betting and become the outright flag favourites after round 10.
And Riley, you are probably foxfooty.com.au's finest headline writer, so give us your best now.
I'm going to keep it plain and simple, but I think it could be Tiger trouble. I think they can lose by under a kick again on Saturday night. And I'm just thinking, imagine the fallout if it happens, because it would be extraordinary. And I think it'll be a tight game against Essendon, who are in form. I think both will be really physical and really energetic. And I think it could be decided by under a kick either way.
I think it doesn't matter if it is close or if it's a blowout. If the Tigers lose, the headline is Tiger trouble, because that'll mean five straight losses. It's a disaster for that club if that happens. That just makes, it is an unbelievable round of footy and a tipster's nightmare. But golly, that's a big game Saturday night.
Yeah. It'd make your job easier if they lost by under a kick, Hodgie, because you could actually just mesh Jack Riewoldt the last 2 weeks talking to Jared and Robbo and just put it together, and you wouldn't even have to come in on Tuesday night. That could be interesting. 360 on Tuesday night, of course. Hodgie running a great show there. AFL 360. Let's get into the agenda. Geelong versus Port Adelaide tonight at Simmons Stadium. Geelong laid 134 tackles last week, Hodgie. Is it as simple as they need to come with the same intensity tonight in order to win, or is there more to it?
No, there's more to it. And I still think that if Geelong's two greatest players, and Joel Selwood and Patrick Dangerfield, there's two of the best five players in the competition. If they play as well as they did last Friday, they'll probably win just about every game that club plays. So it's really up to those two guys, again, I think, to lead the way tonight. And, they hold so much of the Cats' fortunes. If they play blinders like last week, and Patrick Dangerfield, he played one of the great games I've ever seen. The fact that, and you're on the boundary at times, Tom, during the year, and you see the blokes come off the ground almost throwing up. He did it every time he came off the ground. He would have 3 minutes, have a drink, have a sit down, and then go again until he came off the ground and almost ready to throw up again. The work rate of these blokes is phenomenal. I know that is getting away from the question, but on my point of this weekend, there are so many 50-50 games, and you're just not sure how this game will play out. Will the same Geelong intensity be there as last week? Or after a short six-day break, after such a brutal, bruising game last Friday, might they just be a bit off? And then bear in mind that Port Adelaide's had the week off. So almost impossible to pick a winner. You really want to see how the first 5 minutes plays out before you put your selection in.
That's what I'm worried about, whether or not that sort of 130 tackles footy is sustainable. I mean, coming off a six-day break, as you said, Hodgie, Port Adelaide haven't played in a week. They had the bye last week, so they'll be fresh and ready to go. I don't think the China trip will take too much out of them as many thought it would at the start of the year. So, especially because they ran away quite convincing winners in that clash. So, look, I think it'll be tough for Geelong to back up what they produced last week. And it was almost the perfect storm in a sense, because the Bulldogs are a very tight, contested team. So they were always going to bring pressure considering what they'd done the week earlier against Essendon. And then have a lot of tackles. So I think whether or not that's sustainable, I'm not sure. But I'm really looking forward to it, because I think it'll be a great contest.
A video went up today on Facebook, Hodgie, on Fox Footy's Facebook page, AFL 360 Extra last night, where Robbo put the heat on Port Adelaide and said if Port Adelaide win this game, they are genuine contenders. Do you agree with your with Mark Robinson from AFL 360?
Yeah, absolutely. If they win, I think they're top four. Yeah. Almost as, not a certainty, that's crazy to say at this stage of the season with the roller coaster season we've had so far, but they certainly put themselves in that equation if they can win such a big game on the road down in Geelong. I was leaning. Do you blokes agonise over your tips? I'm agonising over my tips.
I've just
at the
stopped
moment.
Tipping.
I always try and stop tipping, but I'm in bloody Uncle Dennis's tipping comp over the road at the original cafe. And I was all for Port Adelaide. I just thought last week would have taken way too much out of the Cats, and then they lose the pace of Cockatoo, who was out of that team with a hamstring. But I must admit, when Chad Wingard out of that team, I'm leaning back towards the Cats. I just think it's a blockbuster, third versus sixth. It's a great way to start Indigenous round. It's a great way for Thursday night footy to come back into play. And I love Thursday nights, by the way. I reckon it's the way of the future. And I can't see it being more than 10 points either way tonight. It's going to be a ripper.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Geelong simply because of the fact it's at Simmons. I think if it had been played at Etihad or even the G, it might have been a bit more of an even up. But the fact that it's at Cardinia Park and the Cats love playing there, that's why I'm leaning at the moment.
St Kilda versus the Western Bulldogs.
He really doesn't give a tip or a thought, does he?
I'm here to facilitate your time. I'm no expert. I tend to agree with both of your thoughts. St Kilda versus Western Bulldogs on Saturday afternoon. Both sides are 5-4, but they're in sort of different positions, aren't they, Hodgie? And just 0.6% separates the two teams on the ladder. What's your take on the Dogs at the moment?
Well, they're not playing great. And Luke, I love that Luke Beveridge is... All of our coaches are so good at the moment. We've got such a good crop of coaching talent, and especially with the way they speak in the media as well, which is fantastic. And Alan Richardson's been fantastic on 360 this year. But Luke Beveridge has put his hand up pretty much the first 2 months of the year and said, we're not playing great footy, we're not playing great footy. And early on, they were winning the games, and now they've been dropping a few. So, you know, he's the one who's been telling us that they're not playing terrific. And they tried their guts out last week and just couldn't get over the line against the Cats. And they're now starting to get desperate. I think the Saints are desperate as well for a scalp. So that just makes the stakes on Saturday afternoon footy. I know we've just pumped up tonight's game, but I think Saturday afternoon's game will be a sensation as well, because both teams don't want to be 5-5 on Saturday night. So... again, I'm leaning towards the Dogs, but only just. And I think Roughhead will make a big difference, providing he does come in at selection tonight, which I think he will. But you could easily make a case for the Saints.
Are the Dogs in trouble because they can't score heavily enough, Riley?
Yeah, I think the fact that, I mentioned it on Monday's pod, the fact that they're averaging, 73 points per game this season, that holds up in finals footy when scoring naturally goes down because it's more tighter, it's more contested. But throughout the season, I'm not sure if that's viable. And all I need to do is make finals, because we know this footy stands up in September. But they've got to make finals first, and that's what I'm worried about from their perspective. From St Kilda, I really think they, as Hodgie said, they need a scalp, and they had the chance to get it last week at home against Sydney, who were 2-6 going into the game, and they didn't get it. So I think this week's a massive opportunity for them. They've got a pretty good record against the Dogs over the last couple of years as well. We all remember that famous game where they were 40, 50 points down and won. So they've got a pretty good record at them. Etihad Stadium will suit them as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing how St Kilda respond to last week, because they were desperately poor last week.
I want to ask you, Tom. You like the Saints.
I used to work at the Saints.
Yes, I know. Where do you rate their midfield? I reckon a few weeks ago now they beat the Giants, and maybe they believed in the hype, believed in the fact that they had taken the next step. But from Ross and Nunes, Billings, those guys, do you think they can become elite? Or,
well, I think I rate their... It depends how deep you classify the midfield group. Is it the top six, or is it 11 or 12?
Well, I think it's to win a premiership now, and the Bulldogs showed this last year, you need at least 10 and up to 13 or 14.
So I think if you go that deep, I think they're on the cusp of the top eight. I'm not sure they're in the best eight midfielders in the competition. But if you rank their top five or six midfielders, and that includes Seb Ross, Jack Stephen, David Armitage, when he's fit, is still a valuable player, is a long way away. Jack Nunes, these guys, I think they're probably fifth or sixth in the competition. It's been well documented that they lack that class, that polish. But when they play that high-pressure game that they did against GWS and they did in the first quarter against Melbourne in round one, they're as good as any team in the competition, and that's built from the midfield. But then the problem comes against a team like Sydney that have even better pressure and more talented midfielders. They can't match that. There's no way they can match that.
That's why, I mean, both the Saints and the Dogs have question marks on their forward lines at the moment. So I just think it's an outright war in the midfield on Saturday. Whoever wins that battle between the Dogs, and they look so much better with Mitch Wallace back in that team last week. How good was that? But for the Dogs up against the Saints, whoever wins the midfield battle, I reckon, wins the game.
Saints desperately need that free agent at the end of the year, whether it's Fife, whether it's Martin, whether it's Kelly. They need that player, because that's what they lack at the moment.
Yeah, and I've got no issue with the Saints going hard and saying we want this big fish. They've been saying it for a few years. Riley wrote an article from what Nathan Burke said a couple of years ago, who was on the board at the time when they set their strategic plan. Jack Steele's been terrific. They've got a couple of fish. Josh Bruce, Tim Merenberry, Jack Steele, Tom Hickey, they've brought them all into the club in the last few years. But they need that big fish, that big shark they need to bring into the club. Richmond Essendon later that night is a huge game. Dreamtime at the G. We touched on Richmond just before. Doomsday scenario, they lose in the last minute. But Riles, I'd like you to speak about Essendon for a little bit. What's impressed you about the Bombers this year, and what can they bring against the Tigers on Saturday night?
I think their pressures really impressed me throughout the year, especially last week against West Coast. They were superb, played some really good footy in that first half, blew the Eagles out of the water by halftime, and then controlled it after that. Their forward line's really starting to function now. They've brought Stewart in, which adds a really nice balance. Joe Danaher, I think, is probably the best young key forward in the game and probably on track for an All-Australian year as well if he keeps it up. And we know their smalls, Fantasia, McDonald, Tipong, Rudy, and also Josh Green, who's having a serviceable year as well, that probably didn't expect as much output as they've got from him. So really dangerous lineup when they get everything together. They've got those key position pillars in place as well, because Hurley's had a great year. Hooker's been really good as well. And their midfield's class with Merritt and Heppel and Watson going through there. So really good balance that they've found within the side. And it's only going to get better. Jules mentioned it earlier in the week to me, just in passing, saying that he's not sure how the players that are returning from that 12-month suspension will go second half of the year, whether or not they'll start to find their feet or whether or not they'll run out of gas. But it really doesn't matter, because apart from Heppel, Hooker and Hurley, none of them are really important contributors. I think Joe Watson's a bit, no disrespect to them, but I think Travis Collier is probably not going to be the biggest loss of all time, and Hook and Hocking and Howlett and stuff like that probably aren't going to be as important as what they probably loomed in 2015. So I don't think it's the biggest loss if they do have a couple of weeks out of the side, and if it does go down that way, because I think that they've got enough depth within their squad now to sort of really challenge for the finals.
And their top end is extremely good, with Zach Merritt and Joe Danaher coming through as well.
I just think the barometer for the Bombers is Joe Danaher. When he plays well, that team is...
Well, when he kicks well, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but well, that's playing well, isn't it? And I mean, Anzac Day, he played well, won the medal, unbelievable. And they had one of their great wins last week, played well, and a huge win for the club. So I just think up against someone like Alex Rance, can Rance put the stops on him, take him out of the game completely? And if he does, I just think Richmond... How can you possibly tip a team that's lost their last four?
Yeah.
But I find myself sort of leaning towards Richmond here.
It's weird, isn't it? I think the Tigers, you almost feel like they deserve to win the last couple of weeks. And I think that's why they'll come out firing this week and say, right, this is the week we actually get it. Their midfield's probably good enough to match Essendon's. They've got a really good record against them. If Jack can get on his get the jump on a couple of Essendon defenders, then he'll be really hard to stop. But I agree with you. I think Joe Danaher's such a barometer in this side, and he's been great the last couple of weeks, and it's coincided with their form.
And the flip side to that, you think that the Tigers have been up for a month. They've played really good footy and got zero to show for
it. Well, Jack Riewoldt said that.
And if anything, I mean, they've got embarrassment to show from it that, you know, as Caroline Wilson said on Monday, that they've become a laughing stock, that people just sort of, you know, they're... Sort of, you pot them on Twitter Saturday, they're that much in front, and you go, oh, they're still probably going to lose, and then they do lose.
Yeah.
So maybe they just do have a flat one and say, well, oh, man, we tried our guts out last week on the road in Sydney against the might of the Giants, and we should have won, and we didn't. Ditto the week before against the Dockers, ditto the week before against the Bulldogs. So, you know, you just hope that they don't have a flat one, because all hell will come down on that club. Having said that, as I said before, I'm still leaning towards Richmond. I'll probably pick them.
I'm going to go cross code for a minute here. I'm reading a great book at the moment about Arsenal's invincible side in 2004. And the main factor throughout the entirety of that book is just how much their leaders picked them up when they did go through a couple of bad patches. So I think this week we might see something. We might see the real side of Richmond's on-field leadership. Everyone questions whether or not it's the coaching or whether or not it's the on-field leaders when they lose these close games. I think this week is where we'll really see it, because, as you said, there is the risk of a drop-off this week because they've been up for so long and still haven't got the results. So if they can start and set the tone in the middle of the ground, the likes of Cochin and Martin, that'll be really important for them going forward.
You just sense that there'll be real nerves with the Tigers. Oh, yeah. And
Tiger supporters as well.
Yeah, but it's such a big stage, and I love the fact that Dreamtime has become, you know, one of the games and one of the events of the year. There'll be 90,000 people they're talking about on Saturday. That's a lot of people when you're nervous running out there thinking, gee, how is this going to play out? And that's a lot of, you know, the spotlight will be on Trent Cotchin, Jack Riewoldt,
Alex Rance. They have been playing well, haven't they?
Yeah.
They're leaders. Yeah, they've been playing well, but haven't been getting the job done.
But You got to bring it Saturday night, boys, and we'll be all watching.
Can't wait for that one. Also can't wait for Sydney Hawthorn in a very different way to what we've anticipated this game in the last few years, certainly in the last 5 or 6 years. The Blues will be 3-7. Can you make finals from 3-7, Riley?
I don't know if you can. No, you can't. I think it's as simple as that because you have to be pretty much perfect at the back end of the year. But whereas a couple of weeks ago you might have looked at this game and thought, well, we're looking at two very different sides that have played off in the last 5 years, two very different teams that were once powerhouses aren't powerhouses anymore. But I think now you can look at it and say, Sydney are the side that we know. Hawthorn probably aren't. So that's why I think Sydney will win. I know they've had a lot of close matches in the past. It's been a real epic rivalry, but I'm just not sure if we'll see that sort of close game. I think this could be one where Sydney really sort of makes a statement of intent for the second half of the year and really runs away with it.
I couldn't agree with you more, Riley. And I think Indigenous Round is one of those weekends where I just feel Lance Franklin is going to have some sort of game on Friday night. I think the Swans will win and win easily. You say it's a different looking Hawthorn outfit. I mean, it's different because their injury list is what it is. And
they've got rid of Lewis and Sam Mitchell, and which we talk about every week.
And you saw last week that they got a commanding lead and they still got run down by the Magpies. And, you know, that was a 60-point turnaround in the end, which is pretty embarrassing against someone like the Magpies. So, yeah, Hawks are going one way, and I think the Swans are going straight up. And what a storyline they'll be for the second half of the year, watching them. Can they keep winning? Can they get enough wins on the board to make September? If they do that, can you imagine if they finish 7th or 8th and you're facing them in knockout elimination finals or semi-finals? Whew, they could go a long way. And they might look back and rue the start to the year to be zipping 6 for a team as good as the Swans. Yeah. You still shake your head. And, you know, Luke Parker said as much last night on 360.
You don't want to be Norton 6, but now they are. They are playing the Hunters extremely well. They are coming for every team they play. And against St Kilda last week, they were quite incredible to watch. Buddy Franklin, just a quick one on him, Riles. Josh Gibson's not playing good enough for you to go with him at all, is he? Now, he's gone with him in the past. But at the moment, Buddy Franklin could just mop up on Friday night.
Yeah, that's the worrying sort of... Because I don't think Frawley's out, but I don't think they have someone now that can sort of go with him. I think Frawley probably would be the one that they earmarked a couple of weeks back. I don't think Gibson, he's probably plays his best footy off the man anyway, so I'm not sure if he's mobile enough to run with him up the field. I'm wondering if Al Clarkson gets a bit funky and sort of says, look, maybe someone like a James Sicily, this is who you run with this week. You play a defensive role on him and you show to us that you've got a long-term future at this club.
Good luck sleeping tonight, James, if you've got that job. I just think he's like, and you don't want to get too big pitchy. I reckon he's our LeBron James, Buddy Franklin. Even if it's a rubbish game, I still want to watch the Swans just to see what Buddy does. And, you know, the fact that we think Buddy might cash in and have a really big night, I definitely want to watch just in case he does kick a massive bag of, you know, imagine if he kicks 10 plus on a Friday night. How good would that be?
8 goals, 11 or something ridiculous, like he was in 08 almost every week. There's probably a handful of players in the comp that you'd watch regardless of who they're playing against, and Buddy is probably the peak for that for me.
I think there's only danger that can go close, but Buddy is in a different stratosphere altogether.
I think Jack Watts is probably not far away as well. Riles and Hodgie, no, we're not going to get facetious too early. Let's get to Carlton and North Melbourne. This is your team, Riley, Carlton, but also North Melbourne. They're 3-6, but they were good against Melbourne last week. Carlton, are we just letting them fly under the radar, or are they actually playing some reasonable footy without getting the results?
No, I think they're setting up in a way that means that they don't get blown out, which is probably what they need to do at this stage of the year. There was a comment earlier, I can't actually recall who made it, but there was a comment earlier in the week about whether or not North Melbourne, it might have been Mike Sheehan actually on SEN, and said, are they the best 3-6 side in the league at the moment? It's hard when you've got someone like Sydney that's playing well at 3-6 as well. So
he didn't put Collingwood in there?
No, surprisingly. but I think North Melbourne are playing really good footy. They showed that last Sunday. And Big Ben Brown, I wrote about him earlier in the week. He's arguably, everyone talks about Joe Danaher, but he's up there with arguably the best young key forwards in the comp at the moment. It's staggering to think that he's only 24. It's only his fourth year in the system. Kicked 41 goals last year, and he's improved drastically in the first 9 weeks of the season. He's on track for a career best year, and potentially he's on track to be an All-Australian key forward coming into the season.
Yeah, I agree. And a few weeks ago when the AFL Evolution video game came out...
Yes, Max Lawton wrote a tremendous review for foxwoody.com.
So they were talking about the two ambassadors for the game, so they were trying to get to appear on 360, and it was either Marcus Bontempelli, and I thought, oh yeah, definitely, he'd be great to have on.
Yeah.
Or Ben Brown. I thought, gee, Ben Brown is a face? This is that's a bit weird. But kids absolutely love him, and he's going to be, as you say, Riley, a superstar. you know, so I just think, and he's the way he runs in 55 metres to kick his set shots and his crazy sideshow bob hair. So, you know, he's going to be just on that alone as a superstar. And then the fact that, you know, the companies clearly love him, for him to be one of the faces of this video game. So, yeah, I agree. And like Sydney, I think North Melbourne can be a real storyline in the second half of the year, because I think they're good enough to play finals, which, you know, they made prelims a couple of years ago, 2 years in a row. We know what they've done, clearing out a lot of the old boys, but it's still a really competitive 22. And they've got someone like Ben Cunnington, who is absolutely elite out there and playing great footy. And every time the ball goes forward, if it isn't Jared Waite, it's Ben Brown who's going
to
get it.
I'll throw this question to you, Tommy. So there was a lot of talking points out of their game last Sunday because they took a big scalp against Melbourne. And then the whole week, the news picture has been dominated by the fact that they've really set their sights on first Josh Kelly and now Dustin Martin. And they think they can get both of them. They think they can offer both of them multi-million dollar deals and get both of them at the end of the season. If they do, are they back in the flag hunt next year?
That's a great question from you, Riley. Let me just think about that one. Well, first of all, you referred to the Melbourne as a big scalp, which is a big tick.
No, any time you put Josh Kelly and Dustin Martin into a midfield as good as North Melbourne's, absolutely they become a premiership chance.
To what degree do they become a premiership chance? Are they an outside chance or are they a genuine chance? I think Dustin Martin makes them a genuine chance next year. Josh Kelly will make them a genuine chance for the next 10 years. He's a bit younger than Dustin Martin. Good question, Riles, and very good one for AFL 360 as well last night. If you could pick, or AFL 360 Extra this morning, if you could pick Dustin Martin or Josh Kelly, Hodgie, who would you put in the team?
I don't mind. Give me either of them in a...
No, come on, don't sit on the fence.
Well, if you... Again, that's... Do you think you can win a premiership now?
All right.
I'd say Dustin. Yeah. Because you've got to probably do it while Jared Waite's still there. Yeah, Andrew Swaller's probably not going to be there anyway. Scott Thompson down back. How many years has he got left? So I would probably say Dustin Martin just because he's an outright match winner. But, you know, Josh Kelly's going to be elite for you for the next 10 years. So you can't lose.
Well, that's going to be an interesting game as well, North Melbourne-Carlton. Carlton can't really score at the moment, or as heavily as they'd like. But they're defending and they're setting up quite nicely. It's going to be interesting, that one on Sunday, of course. Let's get into your tips, Riley. And there's a few cups to play for this week as well, starting with Geelong Port Adelaide for the Shane Brewer Cup. Give us your tips.
Geelong just because it's at Simmons Stadium.
And you can go through them now. Sydney Hawthorn for Ben McGlynn, and give us the cup for each one.
Okay. Sorry, I wasn't really sure of the format you were going with. Sydney Hawthorn, the Ben McGlynn Cup, as we know. I'm tipping Sydney comfortably. St Kilda Western Bulldogs, you've gone with the Nicky Winmar Cup. I'm going to go with the Sainters there. I think they'll finally get that big scalp. Melbourne to defeat Gold Coast in the Matthew Warnock Cup in Alice Springs. Richmond, Essendon. I think Richmond just over the line against the Bombers in the Ty Zantuck Cup. Adelaide Freo, of course, Tony Modra, Tom Chadwick's favourite player, who he has a poster of him on his wall still. I think Adelaide will win that, as Hodgie said before, and go back into premiership favouritism. Collingwood to beat Brisbane in the Mal Michael Cup. North Melbourne to get the
points. What did you say walking down the stairs to do this podcast?
I was too young for Mal Michael in Collingwood colours. I remember him in Brisbane and Essendon, but too young for Collingwood colours.
If you're Hodgie in my age, not saying I'm Hodgie's age by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're a little bit
stuffed both,
if you're a little bit older, you'd remember Tony Lockett leading out to a Paul Kelly kick in half forward at the SCG, and Mal Michael trailing him, then Lockett kicked that record-breaking goal. Anyway, please continue.
My favourite cup of the weekend is Carlton North Melbourne's Digby Morrell Cup. I think the Kangaroos will get the points in that one. And then finally, West Coast against the Giants in the John Giles Cup. I think the Eagles will win that simply because of GWS's injury record.
Hodgie, it's very difficult to come up with a cup for West Coast GWS.
You've done well to get it. I've only got one difference there to Riley, and that's the Saturday afternoon game at Etihad. I'm going for the Dogs to beat the Saints, but everything else the same. The Cats, the Swans, the Demons, Tigers, Crows, Magpies, Kangaroos and Eagles in a really difficult weekend of tipping.
Seems like every weekend's difficult now, Hodgie.
Not next week. I just had a look ahead to round 11. And round 11, the Saturday night game is Richmond North. But apart from that, they're all pretty straightforward. It's the first of the big bye weeks next week. And so straightforward next week. So tipsters will have an easier week next week, but not this week.
It seems straightforward now, but what happens this weekend probably could dictate. That's the trend of the season, at least. Well, thanks for joining us on the Fox Footy podcast.
Hang on, what was our last point to talk about with Tom? His love life?
Apparently...
No, well, hang on. I'm the host here. I'm not sure what you guys want to talk about.
Apparently, he has got his girlfriend flying back from South Africa. They've got a long distance relationship. And she'll be flying back in 2 weeks, and he's agreed to bring her into a podcast bunker soon to get her on.
A few sickies coming for Tom Morris next week.
No, absolutely not. No, look, we'll move on from that. Thank you. I look forward to having Andrea out here in Australia. The AFL did try to have a foray into South Africa for a very brief time, but it seems like they've diverted their attention to China recently. I'm not sure if that's going to be a success or not.
Where's the next frontier?
Well, I think it has to be geographically relevant. So probably Asia's the one. New Zealand in Auckland, not Wellington potentially as well. What do you think, Hodgie?
I'd like New York to be the next frontier, and let's all try and get a junket there.
Yeah. I think you'd be more likely than Riley and I, to be honest. AFL 360 producer Tim Hodges, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Riley Beveridge, foxfooty.com.au. You have a great weekend and all the very best.
It's been great, guys.